Just a little inside baseball note. I every week try and change the way I approach the scripture, and I've been thinking for several weeks about preaching from a short set of notes, not a lot of detailed notes. So I'm doing that today. It's a one-pager. So we'll see how this goes. I was struck by the last line of our first reading, verse 10, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, having nothing and having it all. And that's such a telling phrase, especially in light of our second reading. Now, you notice there was nothing in that first reading about boat on a sea, wind, waves, storm. But just those words, immersed in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, having nothing, yet having it all. Let me tell you how those connect to our scripture this morning. Because our scripture this morning seems to be about a boat trip. You can go to St. Michael's and get on a boat, have a boat trip. Well, that's what the disciples were doing. Jesus had been preaching all day long, and he said, well, let's go over there to the other side of the lake. And they said, sure, we'll get on a boat, we'll have a party. It was a little flotilla of boats crossing the Sea of Galilee. Didn't seem like anything unusual, pretty ordinary. Jesus' disciples, many of them were experienced sailors. Jesus was so comfortable, he fell asleep. No big deal. And yet, that boat trip went into a miracle. Now, you know what the miracle was, right? But maybe you don't. So please, dear God, come into my mind and heart this morning. Fill up this beloved worshiping community here in our sanctuary. Touch the people who they touch. Touch the people who are listening online, and bring your love and grace and the power of your word into my message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people think the miracle was the calming of the stormy sea? Hands. Non-judgmental show of hands. Okay, thank you. But I don't believe that was the miracle in this passage this morning. You see, what the disciples did not realize is when they got on that boat, they weren't just going across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They were going into a liminal space. A liminal space comes from a Latin word, limen, and it means threshold. They didn't realize, but they were going from their world into the world of Jesus. Through the portal of that storm. And when we have a liminal space, we go from who we were to who we will be. And that is a miracle, that we are given an opportunity to change by God. But even the bigger miracle that happened in our scripture is that Jesus was with them all the way. We often forget that God is with us every minute of every day, all the way. When I had my surgery on Wednesday morning, I wasn't thinking much. I was nervous. And it was only when they wheeled me into the operating room, when they put the oxygen mask over my face and told me to breathe in, that I remembered that I needed to bring God into that operation. And so I started praying the Lord's Prayer. Now, God didn't need that. He was with me anyway. But I needed to be reminded that as I went into that liminal space, I was unconscious. They were sticking things in my eye. I needed the presence of God with me so that would be a good outcome. And so the real miracle in this text is not Jesus calming the sea, because if you think about it, Jesus made the sea. At the beginning of creation, when he was there with Father God, Jesus calming the sea is like one of the kids building something with Legos and knocking it over and building it up again. No big deal. But Jesus, the divine Son of God, being with those disciples in that boat, in their time of trial, that is the miracle, that our divinity would be with us in those times. And the thing about being in a liminal space, the power of a liminal space and the gift of it, is that it gives us an opportunity to become something new. And if you remember, Jesus very clearly says, you are a new creation in me. And so we are constantly being created new in Jesus by constantly going into liminal spaces. Now, we're not doing anything Jesus didn't do. He spent his public life going into a storm at sea, going into deserts, going up mountaintops, going into a tax collector's home, finding where the lepers were gathered, going across the Sea of Galilee so he could talk to a man possessed by thousands of demons. Jesus had no trouble crossing over those liminal spaces because he wanted to bring change and transformation to the people that he was there to serve. The wonderful thing about liminal spaces is that they allow us to go from fear to confidence. They allow us to go from sorrow to joy. They allow us to go from doubt to faith. And the foundation of this movement is God with us and God's continued loving presence. I found a quote by Pascal, who is a 17th century French philosopher. He talks about the power of liminal spaces. Somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known. You see, when Jesus got on the boat with those disciples, he knew that something, somewhere incredible was waiting to be known. The disciples still did not get it. But that's okay, because we are given time and time and time again to get it. And while we're talking about getting it, and while we're talking about transformation, we have to talk about mothers. And today we especially have to talk about fathers, because fathers bring us into the liminal space. We go from non-existence to biological existence to being brought into this world. Pretty cool, isn't it? Yes, we have an affirmation of that. But fathers aren't always perfect about making the transition with their children from one liminal space to another. So I just want to share with you three stories today about fathers. The first story I want to share with you is about my dad. My dad's name was Ernie, or Ernest. And truthfully, I was always thankful that they never chose to make me Ernie Jr. or Ernest Jr. Now, I'm not going to tell you my middle name, no offense, Dad. But he taught me how to ride a bike, as most fathers do. And I remember this so clearly. He took me through a liminal space, a time when something, somewhere incredible was about to be known, but I didn't know it. You see, I was 4 or 5 years old, and he got me a bicycle, two-wheeler, like the big kids, right? But it had training wheels on it, but I didn't care. I was sitting up high. I was holding on to the handlebars. And every day, my father would take me out. And as I pedaled my bike, holding on to the handlebars, not knowing what I was doing, my father's hand was holding the back of the seat. And so as I was pedaling, my father was steadily guiding that bike. And after several weeks, longer than I want to admit, I kind of got the hang of balancing. Now, that bike had training wheels, and I didn't know it, but every other time we went out, my father would subtly raise the training wheels up a little bit until the day that the training wheels were about 2 inches off the ground. But I didn't know that. And so I went out to ride my bike with my dad. He held the seat. He held one of the handlebars because he knew that it was no longer three wheels in the back. and I got on. And we started our routine, and as I pedaled, I knew that my dad was walking next to me. I could feel his presence. And then I kept pedaling, and it felt right, and I felt balanced. I felt I had gone through a threshold. I got it. And as I got down the block, a full block away, I turned right here to say to my dad, I got it. But my dad wasn't here. My dad was back there, a block away. At which point I crashed. I just immediately crashed. Didn't quite have it as much as I thought I had. But my father came up to me with a look of worriedness and also a look of pride. And I saw that, and I knew I could do it. You see, my father knew that somewhere, somehow, something incredible was about to be known. And my father took me through that liminal space. Our son Josh, when he was 14 years old, Sarah was at her studio painting. At that point, her studio was out of the house. But I was working from home. And Josh came home and he was furious. He threw his books down on the table. You okay? And his teacher had done him the great injustice of making him do extra homework. Why? Well, because he wasn't getting it. So she thought if you do extra homework, that'll help you get it, right? Made sense to the teacher, did not make sense to my son. And my son walked back and forth across that room, furious that this teacher was unfair, that he was being persecuted. Who did she think she was? And I was the father. And somehow the Holy Spirit put his hand on my shoulder, and more importantly, put his hand over my mouth. And I did not say anything. And for 10 minutes, my son walked back and forth, screaming and stewing and angry and slamming, and then there were several minutes of silent stewing. But about 15 minutes after he walked in the door, he turned to me and he said, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to tell her that it's not fair what she did, but I'm going to do it. You see, my son had gone through a liminal space. He went from being angry and out of control to working out his anger, expressing his anger, finding a solution in his head, coming to terms with that solution, and then implementing that solution. You see, the Holy Spirit, when he put his hand over my mouth, knew that somewhere something incredible was about to be known. Now, I want to tell you that Sarah and I have raised two kids, and I'm speaking the next story also. I'm going to be in a good light. But in raising those kids, I was not always in a good light. And Sarah, do you remember the number of times I'd interact with Josh or Emily, and afterwards I'd say, I can't believe I messed it up. And the number of times you said, don't worry, you'll have another opportunity. Real soon. And I did. So I was in no way perfect, but my daughter Emily, when she was in her junior year in high school, I started my window washing business, residential window washing business, and I told her what I was going to do. And I told her I was going to have a magnetic sign on the side of my car, and I was going to have ladders on the roof. And my daughter Emily looked at me, because she loved me, and she said, don't drive me to school. I don't want anybody to know what you're doing. I don't want to be associated with that. She thought it was beneath her. Okay. So, senior year, summer came. She and her friends graduated. This was 15 years ago, thereabouts. Anyway, I needed people to help with the summer work. So I started hiring her friends. And at first she said, you can't hire my friends. But I hired her friends, I trained her friends, I paid her friends $15 an hour. They had unlimited time off, they could come or go as they pleased, as long as they let me know ahead of time so I could set the schedule. I didn't make them work 40 hours a week. It was up to them. And her friends started telling her how great it was. And she finally said to me one day, Dad, can I work with you too? I'm not going to tell you I was waiting, but I was. And so I trained her, and we started working together. And my daughter became my business associate. And it was amazing. We got up every morning, left the house by 8 o'clock, made our lunch. I'd talk about the job, the customers along the way, and I would ask her opinion and her insight. And she just picked it up. And after 6 weeks of working with me, she went from just an associate to kind of a partner almost. You see, my daughter is really perceptive, and she knows about people and business, and she's now got an MBA in business and is working a big-time job. But she didn't know when she said to me, "Don't drive me to school," that she was about to enter into a liminal space, that God had plans for this relationship, that somewhere, somehow, something incredible was about to be known. And so my words about fathers for Father's Day is this: not every father understands all of these things. And the fathers that do give their kids gifts that they use in a lot of wonderful ways. But the fathers that don't give their children burdens. Often those burdens turn into gifts down the road. Because I believe God put us in this world so somehow, somewhere, something wonderful would be known from our time here on this earth. And what we know, amen on that one, that Jesus is always with us. Not like the disciples in the boat, yikes! But we know, because we see the Word of God, we hear the Word of God. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, where are your liminal spaces? Where are the opportunities in your life that God is offering that if you just take God's hand, you can move from doubt to faith, or from sorrow to joy, or from fear to confidence? The people in this church teach me some of these answers. Our coffee bar is a wonderful addition. The welcome foyer is a wonderful addition. Sunday school reopened, wonderful addition. I urge all of you to go into the hallway and look at the artwork on the wall on the right side by a person who shall be named nameless, because it's beautiful. I don't want to embarrass you. And so this is the miracle of the calming of the seas that we read today. Yeah, Jesus calmed the seas, but the miracle is that Jesus continually gives us spaces that we can move into. And we don't have to worry that we are not living up to Jesus' expectations, because he constantly in his life kept moving into liminal spaces to give people a chance to become new creations in him. And so I thank God, the Holy Spirit, and I praise Jesus and give thanks that we are able to move as a beloved worshiping community closer and closer and closer to our connection with the God of love. Amen.